The James Croft Evangelistic Association presents Walking with a Giant, a monthly broadcast ministry of 3 foot 10 inch tall evangelist James Croft. Now, here's James.
Welcome to the August 2006 edition of Walking with the Giant. Today, my special guest is Mrs. Ruth Westgate of Winter Springs, Florida. She has penned a song about a sermon that I preached in a revival last year. We'll also give a listen to that song. A little bit later on in the program, you'll hear an excerpt from the sermon that inspired the song. But first, we're going to travel to Ghana, West Africa, and talk with Evangelist Ralph.
Time now for the Ghana Update. Bringing light to the dark continent, Evangelist Raphael Aji Kingbe shares the gospel of Jesus Christ in Ghana, West Africa.
Going now to Teshi Accra in Ghana, West Africa, being joined by our Ghana Ministry Coordinator, Evangelist Raphael Aji Kingbe. Evangelist Ralph, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Papa.
And how have you been this past month since we last spoke on the program?
So far, I've been doing fine. Ebagbe. That's right.
Ralph, tell them what Ebagbe and Ebe means.
It means it will sound, and then you respond, it is sounding.
It was so sound. They respond with, it is sounding.
It is sounding, yes, Papa.
All right. We learned that, I think, during our second trip to Ghana.
That's right.
And it was amazing to get up on the stage in front of 1,800 people, and I could look out there and say, Ebagbe, and they would all respond, Ebe. And then we would go through a thing at the end where Shakabushka, Akabunsen Se Shashi. Did I say it correctly?
Yes, that's very correct. You have 100%.
I have it 100%. And what does that statement mean?
It means we are using the back of Satan on the ground.
We are dragging the back of Satan on the ground. And that's just where he needs to be, isn't it?
Yes.
Ralph, over the past weeks, or last two or three programs, I should say, months, actually, we've talked about your little one. And I believe as we're doing this interview, you are holding baby Ralph in your lap now. And I just wanted to mention here that a picture of baby Ralph and then another photo of Evangelist Ralph and his wife Mavis and the baby have been posted on the blog that people can go to walkingwiththegiantblog.org and look at. And Ralph's going to be sending us some more pictures along, and we will be sharing that. But I want us to turn for a few moments now on our interview to something that's maybe not as joyous of a subject for us as humans to be talking about, and that is death. Over the last few weeks, Ralph has faced the death of his former pastor, and who went on to be with the Lord. Is that correct, Ralph?
That's correct, Papa. Papa, he was the one who blessed our marriage, Papa.
He was the one who blessed your marriage. And so and I hear the baby in the background. This was quite a loss then for you and your family personally.
Yes, Papa.
I also want to mention, as baby Ralph is making his first audio appearance on Walking with the Giant, I want to mention, too, that when we were in Ghana on our last trip in 2004, there was a lady that lived across the street from where we were building the headquarters for Zion Evangelistic Ministry, and she even provided power to the site for us to be able to use some tools and things like that. And one of our team members, Curtis Richards, had noticed that there was a problem with her roof. Am I remembering that correctly?
That's very correct, Papa.
And what happened?
Curtis was so much blessing to her, because when the team left, Brother Curtis was so much touched about the predicament of the woman, the old lady, and Curtis sent money so that we buy materials so that we repair her roofing for her, Papa.
Okay, so Curtis, after returning to the States, sent some money to Ralph to repair her roof because it was not in good condition whatsoever. But Ralph, what has happened in the last month since we've talked?
That old lady passed away. She passed away at the age of 73.
She died at the age of 73.
Yes, Papa.
And Ralph and I were talking earlier, and I said, well, at least she got to enjoy a new roof on her home for the last year and a half then. Well, you know, you never know whose life you're going to touch when you're on a mission trip or when you're doing the Lord's work, and you never know if that might be the last time someone has an opportunity to touch that life. And so we need to seize every moment, don't we, Ralph?
Yes, Papa. And like the old lady, Papa, her death was that amazing, okay? Because she was that healthy. She was not sick, but she was going around doing her things all right. At night, she was ready to take a supper, and all of a sudden, she felt dizzy, and then that was how the Lord called her to rest.
So she was doing very well and sat down to have supper with the rest of the family and felt dizzy and then passed away. My stars.
Papa.
She did not have to face an extended period of suffering.
Yes, Papa.
Well, Ralph and I were talking. We noticed that our conversation today seemed to be focused on death, with the death of his former pastor, the death of the lady who Curtis Richards had taken the time to check on and to send money to fix her roof, and also Pastor Billy Williams of Cedar Creek Church in Sanderson, Florida, where my dad is a member. That was his pastor. Brother Billy has been dealing with cancer for some time now, and he went on to be with the Lord on the fifth Sunday of July, and I attended his funeral services, and I was telling Ralph it was really a time of celebration, that in fact Brother Billy had penned a sermon just a few days before his death and was sharing it with his brother Wayne, who is the associate pastor of the church. And he told him that if he did not survive, for him to preach that sermon. And then just within a couple of days, he died. And it was a sermon that was brought by his brother Wayne. God got the glory from that sermon, even though it was at Brother Billy's death. Ralph, you mentioned a little bit earlier that the human side of you was sorrowful at the thought of these deaths, but the spiritual side was not. Why is that?
Because, Papa, we know that those who die in Christ, they are not asleep. They are just sleeping in the Lord. And we know that the time will come that when the trumpet will sound, as Bible said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that the dead in Christ will be resurrected. So we know that spiritually they are with the Lord, and they are now having their enjoyment. Spiritually, we are glad and we are excited about it. But physically or humanly, because we have, they are close friends to us, they are brothers, they are sisters, who feel the pain, who feel the sorrowness of a brother who has been departed to rest with the Lord. But we know that they are with Christ. And as Scripture also said that for me to live, is Christ, but to die is gain. So we know definitely that we die in Christ and we live for Christ, Papa.
And the Scripture also tells us that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So
that's right.
For a saint, we may fear the process of dying, but we don't have to fear death itself. You might be saying, well, this is kind of a sad conversation that James and Ralph are having this month. But you know what? Dying is a part of living. Because at the beginning we begin to live, we really begin to die. And and of course we have to look to the one who made it to where we will be victorious over death and the grave, because he was born to die. And he died for us, and of course I'm talking about Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so with all of the turmoil that's happening in the Middle East and around the world, in the troubles and suffering that people are facing, you know what, if they know Christ as their Lord and Savior, to live as Christ, but to die will be gain for them. And so it should be considered a homegoing and a time of celebration if someone is a Christian. But that human side of us, Ralph, we're saddened by it.
Yes.
Well, Ralph, even in the time of dealing with the sadness of death, we can be rejoicing in Jesus Christ for what he has allowed us to have. The blessings that we've experienced with those people, the memories that we have. Like Brother Billy, I was telling Ralph that Jesus said a prophet is rarely known in his own country. And Brother Billy Williams pastored a church that is in the county that I live in, Baker County in Florida. And he was the first pastor to ask me to come lead a revival meeting at his church. And I also got to preach a pastor appreciation at his church, as well as fill in for Brother Billy sometimes when he would be gone. So Brother Billy was a supporter of this ministry, and when we would go to Ghana, his church, he would always urge his church to contribute financially to our trips. And then when we would return, he would invite us in to give a presentation about what God had done during our time in Ghana. So he was very much a supporter of this ministry. His ministry here on earth will be missed, and he will be missed by his family. But we all that know Christ have that hope and glory of seeing him again one day. Brother Ralph, if you will close us in prayer, remembering the families of those that we have mentioned here today that have gone on to be with the Lord, and thanking the Lord for the work that they were able to accomplish through Christ while they were here. And just close us out with prayer tonight.
Yes, Papa. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, tonight we are grateful unto you for giving us the privilege one more time so that we will be on air to talk about few issues concerning our brethren that we are called to rest. We thank you for the family of Pastor Billy. As your word says that you are our comforter, you are the father to the fatherless. We pray that you comfort them, and then, Father, provide unto them whatsoever they may need, as you have called your servant to rest. We are asking that may your soul rest in peace in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's my humble prayer that you keep them, O Lord God. We lead the whole woman into your hands. We lead the family also into your hands. We lead my pastor who has also passed away into your hands. All of them will lead their family into your very precious hands. That you keep them, you preserve them, you provide unto them. In the very name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That at the day that you appear in the clouds, at the sound of the trumpet, with the archangel, Father, that you call those who are asleep in you and those who are alive to the heavens and be with you. Father, we pray that we may see them, we have that joy together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you. We bless you. We close this session in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep us, protect us, provide unto us, give us more wisdom, give us more territory, that we may spread your word in the very name of the Lord Jesus. Everlasting Father, one matter we pray, that may your peace that surpasses all understanding rest, O God, in Israel and Lebanon, in the very name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, because you are our peace. Now we pray that peace will prevail in our world today. In Jesus' most holy name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen.
Let's talk.
Okay.
Let's talk.
Thank you.
What do you got to say?
It's time now for Talking with the Giant. Here's James.
Early in 2005, I preached a revival at First Baptist Church of Winter Springs, Florida. The pastor there, Terry Ellickson, is a very dear friend of mine, and had a wonderful time there, wonderful time of services and fellowship. And during that time, I met a lady named Ruth Westgate. And Sister Westgate came to me the day after I had preached a message on going through storms of life. And she showed me some notes that she had written and said that she would like to possibly compose a song from that. And so it had been, I guess, several months or even longer, that I did not hear from her. And I received a telephone call from her one day that she had finished the song and actually had a demo version of it produced and copyrighted and wanted to send it to me to see what I thought. And it's a really good song. And so today I'm joined by Miss Ruth Westgate. While, in fact, we are here at First Baptist of Winter Springs again, just completed a special one-day revival service here today. Miss Westgate, thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Tell me, what struck you? What, and maybe that's a bad term to use in talking about a sermon, but what was it that inspired you, if you will, to pen those words?
It was your message. I take notes most everywhere as I go, and I wrote them all down and went home after the meeting and decided that would fit into a song and brought it back to you. I showed you that in the evening. You looked at it and said, and passed it back to me. And I said, well, it'll sparkle when I put it to music. I will send you a copy. And I did. And so I took the words from what you had spoken in your message that morning and put them down and made this song.
Yeah, the sermon that I preach is about going through storms of life, and it tells about how we can end up in the middle of storms and how we can handle those storms, and that
Correct.
We should be ready to worship God even in the midst of storms. And I always use an acrostic at the end of the song. The end of the song. Listen, you got me thinking songs now instead of sermons. But I use an acrostic at the end of the sermon of S-T-O-R-M. And I always tell people that the best way to handle going through storms of life is to simply trust our risen Messiah. And the song is based on that acrostic.
Yeah, I took the acrostics and made the acrostics into the verse and then made it into the chorus and then made four verses to go with it, yes.
Whose voice will we be hearing singing this song?
The voice on there is my producer, David Michael.
All right. And did you compose the music also, or did someone else take your lyrics and put it to music?
David and I work on the beat, the rhythm, the instruments, the background sounds and effects. We work on that together, and we work from 12 to 5, sometimes 5:30. When we go in, it takes us that long to do one song, put the music and the words together and the beat and then the effects to it, yes.
So apparently now you have written more than this one song.
Yes, I started out at age 72.
Oh,
you're
my
never
stars.
Too old. I'm almost 78 now. Don't say you're too old not to work for your Lord. I was in a real bad car accident, almost lost my life and my left eye. And after I'd been home after that accident for about 2 months, I woke up in the middle of the night with my accident and angels in my thoughts. So I wrote my first song, Angels Protecting Me. That's been out for a while now. And my son-in-law, who is a music major, put that to music for me before I knew about managers and producers and so forth.
Right.
And he put that to music for me. And then I just started writing songs. I have two CDs of religious songs. I have one of contemporary songs. And I finally have a manager, and he was asking me about my life, and he told me that sounded like a book. So I'm now in the process of writing a book about my life.
Outstanding. The songs, you say you have two CDs of songs at this point. Are
yes.
they available for purchase, or are these basically still in the demo stages and are being offered to other musicians?
They're all copyrighted. They're all ready to go. Email me. Mm-hmm. And I'll see that you get a copy if you'd like one.
Okay, if there's an artist or musician that would like to sing
yes.
some of your music, they can contact you. I have an email address that people can contact you, and that is R.H. Westgate, and Westgate is spelled W-E-S-T-G-A-T-E, at AOL.com. That's R.H. Westgate at AOL.com. And I understand there's going to be a website up before long that will have information about the music
right,
and all.
Right. My manager is working on that for me, yes.
When did you come to know Christ as your Savior?
I grew up in a so-called Christian family. Everybody thought we were Christians because we were always in church. For every meeting, missionary, gospel, whatever was going on, we were in church. But I never really accepted Jesus into my heart until I was in God's Bible School and college. I've forgotten where it is now. And
it's quite all right. My memory gets short, too.
I think it's Cincinnati, Ohio. Stop and think about it.
Right.
And I was 20 years of age, and I told someone it felt like a ping-pong ball had come into my heart. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt that I had been saved, that the Lord had finally gotten a hold of me. But I didn't live the Christian life. I became backslidden, and I became a Mary Magdalene.
When is the book possibly going to be released?
That I don't know yet.
Just when you complete it, huh?
Yeah.
I got you. So it is a work in progress.
It's in progress, yes.
All right, let's make sure that we give the information about Miss Westgate one more time, that if you would like to contact her about any of her music or the upcoming release of her book, you can do so by emailing rhwestgate@aol.com. Her affairs are being handled by Coast 3 Entertainment in Lake Worth, Florida. But if you email her, she can get you all of the information. Ms. Westgate, thank you for joining us today, and may God continue to bless the ministry that He's given you this late in life.
I also hope that this song, with your sermon, will really help people to realize the storms in their life are just a step to something greater that the Lord has when the storm is over.
Simply trusting our risen Messiah, there's nothing that He cannot do. He can calm the mighty sea, He can take care of you. S means it's simple. T, completely trust Him. O, our problems will seem so small. R, the Lord is risen. Not dead. Him, Messiah is Lord of Lords. Jesus cares for you no matter the storm. He can calm your troubles too. Just trust in our risen Messiah. Faith small as a mustard seed helps. S means it's simple. T, completely trust Him. O, our problems will seem so small. Saved him right then. Our blessed Messiah can save you. In simple faith, ask for divine help. Jesus will hear and answer your prayers. S means it's simple. She completely trusts him. Oh, our problems will seem so small. Our the Lord is risen. He's not dead. Him, Messiah is Lord of lords. STORM, cast out all fear. You will have peace and security. Then you'll live with God eternally, singing, praising, and worshiping Him. S means it's simple. T, completely trust Him. O, our problems will seem so small. He's not dead. Him, Messiah, is Lord of lords. STORM will cast out all fear.
Time now for a Giant update. Here's what's happening in the ministry of the Giant.
Here's an update on my preaching engagements coming up in the next few weeks. Sunday, August 6th at 11 a.m., I'll be preaching at Bayless Highway Baptist Church, which is located at 11798 Northwest County Road 225 near Stark, Florida. On Sunday, August the 27th at 11 a.m., I'll be preaching at Sampson City Baptist Church, which is located at 13797 Southwest County Road 227, also near Stark, Florida. Sunday, September 3rd at 9 a.m., I'll be speaking during a special Sunday school promotion ceremony at Elam Baptist Church at 6855 Southwest Elam Church Road near Fort White, Florida. Each Wednesday night in August, I am tentatively scheduled to preach at my home church, First Baptist Church of Lake Butler, Florida, 195 East Main Street at 6:30 p.m. I say tentative because this one can change from week to week, so check the website for updates. In fact, for more updates on the schedule and up-to-date changes, just go to jamescroft.org and click on schedule. I also want to remind you that if you have any prayer requests that you'd like us to be praying for, if you will send those to my email at evangelist@jamescroft.org, I'll be sure to pray for you and also provide that to Evangelist Ralph for our intercessory prayer group over in Ghana, West Africa. And that's the Giant update for August.
Words these days are cheap, but there are words that last forever. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Let's get into that eternal Word now.
Let me ask you this. If you're excited to be in the house of the Lord tonight, would you say, boy, am I excited?
Boy, am I excited!
Acts chapter 16, starting down in verse number 16. It says, now, it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. The girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God and who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. Do you notice he didn't turn around and say, hey, you, the girl with the unclean spirit, get away from me. I don't want you around me. Uh-uh. You see, Paul addressed the source of the problem, the root of the problem. He didn't say anything against the sinner. It was against the sin. He said, you know, come out in the name of Jesus. And the unclean spirit came out that very hour. I mean, wouldn't that be a time of rejoicing? wouldn't it be a time of rejoicing to see a young girl who had been possessed by a demon for all this time that had been enslaved to others because of this demonic power? Wouldn't it be a time of rejoicing to say, she's free from that bondage? You know what? She's free from it all. Man, I'd be excited about it. Oh, but the people who owned her were not. Let's take a look here. I mean, I want you to see what happened. It says in verse number 19, when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them in the marketplace to the authorities. In other words, you know what? You done cut off my income. You done got the monkey in with my wallet, with my pocketbook. Boy, that one will fire people up in a heartbeat. We done talked about the money issue. And you done cut off my supply of money. And I can't be rejoicing over this. I can't be happy over this because I ain't got the income anymore. And not only did they get upset about it, they got right down mad to the point that they took Paul and Silas before the authorities. Now, do you picture this? Paul and Silas are just doing the work of the Lord. They're doing God's work. And all of a sudden, they're being seized and carried before the authorities for just doing what God has told them to do. That can happen to you and I in churches today. We can be doing just what God wants us to do. We can be in such a state of revival and things are going so well, and all of a sudden we ruffle somebody's feathers, and now they're mad at us. Let's go on and look what else it says here in this particular scripture. It says, not only did they drag them into the marketplace to the authorities, it says, and they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men being Jews exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us being Romans to receive or observe. In other words, you know what? Not only are we going to drag you in here before authorities, let's lie about them a little bit. Man, they, you know, see, the whole thing was they were mad because they had their income cut off. But what are they doing? They're saying, man, these guys are teaching false stuff out here. We need to stop this thing. You can be doing the will of the Lord and have people tell lies about you. I bet if you talk to a lot of pastors who've pastored for a long period of time, they can probably tell you some stories about that. It's not fun. You're just trying to take a stand for Jesus, and now people are publicly lying about you. And so, you know, here they're lying about them before the authorities. And I want you to see what else it says in verse number 21. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us being Romans to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. In other words, you know what? They got people so fired up with those lies, they told that lie enough that people began to believe it. And all of a sudden, it begins to grow and grow. And it becomes so believable that everybody gets outraged about it. And we see right here, they are so angry that what do? They just rip the clothes off of them. Almost like an act of humiliation. I'll tell you something. Some people will just strike out hatefully. All you were doing is the work of the Lord. And the next thing you know, they're lying about you. They've got other people believing it, and now it's like they want to get up and humiliate you a little bit. I'm not going to be pleased with just telling a lie about you. I want to humiliate you in front of other people. And then they commanded them to be beaten with rods. In other words, you know what? Not only am I going to lie about you and make people believe it, and not only am I going to try to humiliate you in front of other people, I want you to suffer. I want you to feel some pain. No, I don't have time for no forgiveness. I want you to suffer for this. And really, there was no need for forgiveness anyway, right? Paul and Silas hadn't done anything wrong. I want you to suffer. Commanded them to be beaten with rods. And I want you to see what it says. It says, and when they had laid many stripes on them. In other words, you know what? This wasn't some little old love tap going on here. It says they laid many stripes on them. In other words, they wanted them to suffer severely. They beat them with many stripes, but they weren't through. It says, then in verse number 23, after they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. You're just doing the work of the Lord. All of a sudden, people lying about you. All of a sudden, they're trying to humiliate you. All of a sudden, they're trying to make you suffer. Now they want to remove you from the situation and get you out of the way. Not only do they just want to get him out of the way, I want you to see what else it says there. They threw him into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. I know I'm repeating myself, but we just got to see the story as it unfolds. I'm doing the work of the Lord. I'm in revival. I've done nothing wrong. People are lying about me. People are accusing me of things. People are trying to humiliate me. I mean, they're wanting to hurt me. They're wanting me to be out of the situation. In fact, they want to take away my freedom. They want to fasten me down to where there's not even a chance for me to do this again. I believe we're in a storm just for doing the work of the Lord. But the story doesn't end there. It says in verse number 25, but at midnight, stop right there. You know what? There's probably been a lot of tears shed down by bedsides at midnight. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. What did Paul and Silas do? What was their reaction to the storm? They had church. They worshiped. My star's life, can you just imagine the scene in that dark dungeon of a cell area with their feet fastened in stocks, and the other prisoners, maybe they've already gone to sleep, and the jailer is the only one nearby, and all of a sudden, Paul and Silas start out with a worship service. What do we do? What kind of witness do we give when we're in the middle of a storm? You know what? I'm going to tell you something. Church, whether you be a part of this church or any other church, you get fired up for Jesus, and you let revival break out in your heart or in your church, in your family, somebody's going to try to take you down. They're going to try to steal your joy. They're going to try to quench that revival spirit. And they're going to see how we react to the storm. You know how we should react to a storm? If we take the word storm, S-T-O-R-M, and we make it an acrostic where we assign a letter to each, or a word to each one of those letters, to make it through the storms of life, S-T-O-R-M, simply trust our risen Messiah. And you can make it through the storms of life. To make it through the S-T-O-R-M, simply trust our risen Messiah, and we can make it through the storms of life. Here in Florida, it's the time of year we start hearing a lot about hurricane tracking maps. They contain all types of information, not just for tracking the storm, but how to survive the storm. You know what? In our Christian walk, if we will pick up our hurricane tracking map, the Bible, it'll show us how we can get through those storms. It's got all the details that we need to know. Maybe, though, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you are wandering aimlessly in a spiritual storm. Then, my friends, you need Christ. That's the only way that you can overcome the storm that will face you in eternity, is by asking Jesus Christ to save you from your sins, to be born again, to be saved from your sins. If you'd like to know more information about that, you can email me at evangelist@jamescroft.org, and I'll be glad to send you some information. Or go to my website, jamescroft.org, and click on the link that says, Do You Know? And it'll tell you more information. I hope you'll join us next month again for another edition of Walking with the Giant. Until then, stay safe from the storms, and God bless you.
You have been Walking with the Giant, a monthly update on the ministries of the James Croft Evangelistic Association. Walking with the Giant is available as a free web download, or you can receive the program each month on CD. Visit us on the web at jamescroft.org, or for more information, call 386-752-1563. This program is made possible by the generous support of our listeners and by the unmeasured blessings of our Lord Jesus Christ.